It's 14 to 18. Anybody have the number, the page number in the Pew Bible? 1509. So John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. Actually, before I read, let me just mention, the Donnan. Many of you have heard that Tom Donnan passed away end of this week. And the number of family members that attend here, including Deb and Cindy and Gary and Thomas Jr. and Mike Delp is related in there through marriage, and there's probably a few more. At any rate, the visitation will be on Tuesday from 5 to 7 here in our foyer. And then there will be a kind of a private family service after that. And so I encourage you to be praying for them as they look to the Lord during this difficult time. Tom very clearly knew the Lord, had a strong testimony, was very involved in athletics in Columbia, well-known family from what I'm hearing. And in fact, the funeral director was a childhood friend, so pretty tough thing for the family and for a lot of friends and family involved. But won't you please stand and let me read these verses for you. In fact, if you have a Pew Bible, if you have the New International Version, let's read them together. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him. He cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." Let's pray. Remain standing. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that You sent Your Son to make You known. We're grateful for this, Your Word, that proclaims Him to be the living Word. And we're grateful that when Jesus, You went back to heaven, You didn't leave us alone, but You sent Your Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would You come now and speak to us as we consider this, Your Word, together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We really like the spectacles of Christmas, the concerts, the specials on television, and the singing throughout the area. Sometimes a flash mob at a shopping mall, and a lot of fun those things are. Of course, this year we're not going to be seeing as much of them. I watched a Christmas concert from my alma mater, and it was interesting because they had a few live things where people were distanced out. And then it said, 2019, here's this. 2018, here's this. And then, okay, here's some live things. It's just a strange year. And we love the pageantry. We love the glitz of Christmas. But even in a regular year, sadly, we neglect the humility of the child who was born on that day. It was that way in the Roman Empire. So the Romans were quickly moving across Europe and into the Middle East, and they wanted attention, and they were grabbing everybody by the neck and making sure that people paid attention to them. And they didn't really care about a baby that was born in a manger in an out-of-the-way place and couldn't even get a regular room in the inn, and with parents from Nazareth, nowheresville. They didn't really care what was going on there, the little thing that was going on in Bethlehem. There was no live stream. Nobody waving flags. Hey, here's what's happening here. Not that they knew of. And they missed the most important thing that was going on. And sometimes we miss what's going on. The most important thing that's going on at Christmas, sometimes we miss because we're looking at all of the pageantry and the beautiful poinsettias and the decorations and the lights and the shopping and all those things, but we miss the humble baby in the manger. It's sort of like at Christmas time, maybe you have a tree that's got presents all around. You got the family there. Everybody gathers around. They rip open the presents. And then you're ready to go to dinner, and somebody says, "Did anybody see a little present?" And then everybody starts tearing, pulling the wrapping paper away and looking under the couch and maybe under the apron of the tree and saying, "Where is that little thing?" And somebody finally finds it and they open it up, and that little present was the most wonderful present of all. And we have opportunity this season to open that little present of Jesus, who is the most wonderful and glorious one of all. So consider, first of all, how Jesus is like nobody else. Jesus is incomparable. John the Baptist said that he was the most important one. John, when Jesus came, kept pointing to Jesus. He said, "It's not me. No, I'm not the one. He is the one." It's sort of like if you go to a Christmas concert, and maybe the principal gets up and says, "Okay, everybody, here's the kids, here's the choir, here's the band, here's the Christmas play." But he doesn't leave the stage. He does his song and dance routine. I think the rest of us would be up and getting out and saying, "Wait a minute, we came to see the kids. We didn't come to see you." And John says, "It wasn't about me. It was about him. I was simply the MC." And so it is with all of those who came up to Jesus. Moses, Joshua, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, all of them pointed ahead to Jesus and away from themselves. And so it is in our best that we point away from ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about our church. It's not about our pastor, heaven forbid. It's not about somebody else's pastor or some televangelist or some famous book author or singer. It's about Jesus. We point back to him. The prophet Isaiah put it this way. He said, "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is number one. He's the Prince of Princes. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the President of Presidents. He's the Prime Minister of Prime Ministers. He's the Governor of Governors. He's the Counseling Wonder, the Counselor of Counselors. He is number one. He's the most important that ever was or ever will be. And one of the reasons for that is that he's also the oldest, shall we say, that there ever was. Job was having a hard time. He underwent some of the worst tragedy known in human history. Lost all of his family, lost all of his
all of his animals, lost everything after being a man with a lot of wealth and a lot of children. And his friends started saying, well, you know, maybe if you'd done this, maybe if you'd done that. And then Job wasn't listening to them, but finally he decided he was going to question God about this. And Job finally was questioned by the Lord himself. He said, Job, he said, where were you when I made the planet? Where were you when I scooped out the rivers and when I put the mountains in place and I put the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea? Where were you, buddy? And all of a sudden, Job just kind of zipped his lips. He said, well, I wasn't here. And he repented of his arrogance before the Lord. You see, Jesus never had a beginning. John says, in John, he says, the one who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. So, Metro, can I put you to work here for a second? Okay. I want you to come and just stand right here if you would, at least 6 feet apart, okay, all right? So, usually the person who's the leader is more important, right? But what John says is the one who comes after him is more important. But he's doing a little bit of leapfrog here because he said the reason he's more important, he says, is that he was before him forever and ever and ever. He was the one who was eternally existed, who always was and always is and always will be. He never had a beginning. And in fact, you may be seated. Thank you very much, Metro. When Jesus came, he quoted from back with old Moses. You remember our buddy Moses in the story? And when Moses went to the burning bush, God appeared to him. And he said, Moses said, who should send me? Who should I say sent me to Pharaoh? And he said to Moses, tell him that I am has sent you. Not I was, not I will be, but I am the one who always is. And then Jesus really got them upset in his day when he said to those who opposed him, he said, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus is the most important because he's always been, he's always will be. Age, really, in some respects, it's hard to even pin that on him because he forever was and forever will be. And in that day, when Jesus was here, they really gave respect to age. Now, we respect our grandparents and our aunts and uncles and the seniors in our town and in our church. There's other cultures that do it much more so. And that's the way that it was in Jesus' day. Those of age were those who were listened to. It was said that they had great authority. Well, Jesus he wasn't just a senior citizen. Jesus had been of age forever and ever. And ever and ever, and even preceded old Father Abraham, the father of God's people, whom God had appointed. Jesus preceded him. But he was now also, and Jesus would always be. And so, he's number one. It calls us to worship him, to worship him with our lives. The shepherds heard word through the angels. And they said, let's hurry, let's worship him. Simple men. They understood how important he was. They ran off and they worshiped him. And then John the Baptist, when Jesus came, said, "It's not about me. It's about him." So he said, "Let's repent. Let's turn around. Let's turn away from life our way. Let's follow him. Let's live life his way. Let's turn from our way and turn and follow him, because he is incomparable." But he's also kind and gracious. Look at verses 16 and 17, if you would. In verse 16, it says, "Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given." Literally, it says, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. We get grace and more grace and more grace and more grace. It gets what we don't deserve. When we look at John's gospel and what was to come, Jesus in John chapter 2, he changed his water into wine. And they joked with him. They said, "Well, Jesus, you saved the best till last." Because Jesus, he was filled with joy. He gave them better than they had before. And that's what Jesus does for us, to us and with us. He's gracious to us in life and in eternity. When he fed the 5,000, he took a little boy's lunch, and he didn't just multiply it over so that he could feed 5,000 people and their families. Jesus, he fed them all, and then, oh, hey, there's 12 basketballs of leftovers left over. And that's the way that he is. It's grace upon grace upon grace. He's so kind. He's so gracious. But he works in grace and truth. Now, Moses, of course, had come, as John says, he came and he gave the law. He set the rules. He showed us how to live. He also showed us where we fall short. We fall short, as John would say later, or as Paul would say later, of God's glory. He set the standard with truth. It became a teacher to us, we're told, that taught us what the law is like and what God is like and what his standard is like. But he was promised that one would come who would add grace to truth. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus wed grace and truth. I read this week of an ethics textbook in China that took the stoning of the woman who'd been caught in adultery and gave it a new twist. You remember the story where the men of the town were surrounding her, and many of them had done business with her, and ready to stone her. And Jesus came and he wrote something in the sand, and he said to them, "Okay, whoever of you is without sin, cast the first stone." And they walked away, one after another, till Jesus was alone with her. He spoke of her sin, which was great, but he also talked with her about the grace that he had come to offer. This Chinese textbook, ethics textbook, changes the story. And they changed the story to say, "And they all stoned her." You see, there was truth, but not grace. And Jesus came to speak the truth about our sin. We deserve to be stoned. The Bible says the soul of the sin shall die. But Jesus came and said, "Go sin no more." And then he gave his life for us that we might know grace and truth. And his grace, his grace for us is eternal. He gives us that grace when we come to him and receive him as our Savior, as the one who died in our place. But then it's grace upon grace upon grace. His mercies endure forever. They're new every morning. It's grace to us today like it was the day we came to Jesus. It's grace for us tomorrow like yesterday. It's grace for us the day after that. It's grace for us the day after that and forever and forever and ever and until He welcomes us into His presence and we're with Him in a place of grace. Our Lord is so kind. He's so gracious to us. Mary noticed this right out. When the angel came to her, she said, you know, I don't deserve this. I'm just a humble servant. But from now on, everyone will call me blessed because His mercy goes on forever and ever. You see, grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful, wonderful gift to us. He's incomparable. He's kind. But finally, Jesus is God. And He fulfills our longings. When we put our trust in Him and when we know Him, John tells us that we are seeing God. Because Jesus came, and the prophets longed to see Him. They longed to see what was going on. People have always longed to see God face to face. Moses was prohibited from it. But John said, when Jesus came, that we saw and see God. My sister has a son in Germany. And she had waited and waited and waited till they would have a child. And finally, a few weeks ago, they got a new little grandson over in Germany. She can't see him yet. She can't be with him yet. She'll get on the plane as soon as she can to see that little guy. But I'll tell you what, when the pictures came out, those pictures were going all over the place. Texted all to the whole family, to the whole world, put on Facebook. She could be face to face, sort of, kind of, with her grandchild. And she still can't wait to get on that airplane and fly over and see that little one face to face. And we have seen Jesus face to face. We've seen God face to face in Jesus. It's better than the past. Moses in Genesis said that one was coming that would redeem us. Joshua gave us a picture of what is to come. Isaiah talked about Him, this one that would be the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Micah talked about the one that would be born in Bethlehem. But Jesus came and He brought God face to face. He became flesh. He jumped off the page and lived with us. He explained what the Father, what God is like. When we want to know about someone, and when we're not able to see them, one of the things that helps us is when one of their children are nearby. And so maybe there's a son or daughter. They might be little. They might be maybe even grown. And we look at them, we say, that's just like their mom or dad. And we might ask them, so how is your mom or dad doing? How is grandma or grandpa? How's this good friend of ours? Tell us you're a son or your daughter. And a son or a daughter is able to explain how someone is doing like nobody else. And when you've got an only son or daughter, then they can explain like not even a sibling can do. They can explain how that parent of theirs is doing. And maybe even if they're gone, to say, here's the way that it would be. And Jesus came, and Jesus is the only Son of God. John says he explained the Father to us. He showed us what the Father is like. The Father, God, is full of grace and truth. We see that in Jesus. God is love. We see that in Jesus. God is just and fair. We see that in Jesus. God is powerful. We see that in Jesus and what he did on the planet. On the planet was here. God is wise. And when Jesus fed those 5,000 people, he said, "I'm the bread of life." When you're hungry, he said, "I can satisfy just like a warm loaf of bread on a day when your belly is empty." And he's showing us that's the way that his Father is. That's the way that God is. God satisfies us. And we know that because Jesus came and explained the Father to us. He came from the Father's side. And what's wonderful about this is that God the Father longs to know us as his created beings. He made us. He made us because he wants to relate to us. He wants to know to us. He wants to know us. And there were lots of ways that he connects with us or gives us opportunity to connect with him. And so if we go outside and we see, you know, like I saw the other day, the beautiful sunset over the ridge, that speaks to me about my Father in heaven. I can open this book and I can read this book and read the prophets and read the law and read the Psalms, the wisdom literature and all these things and learn about God. Wonderful, wonderful things that I learn about God, that we can learn about God from this book. He sent messengers to us, prophets and priests and kings, those that came to us and proclaimed Jesus, proclaimed himself to us. He speaks to us through our consciences, though we've got to be careful with that sometimes because our consciences aren't perfect. But the number one way that he has spoken to us is through his Son. His Son has come and has spoken to us, has explained the Father to us. He is the Word that is made flesh. And through Christ, we know and we love the Father. Jesus is his Father's pride and joy. Jesus is the living communication of God. Jesus is God. And so as John the Baptist said, listen to him. As the Father said when Jesus was baptized, listen to him. Because God has come in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. Let's listen to him this season. I had a relative who had a nice house and always had a tree full of very nice gifts. And we were just amazed at everything that their kids would receive. I remember one year going over there and seeing the little tyke. And the little tyke wasn't playing with the gifts. The little tyke had a box and was playing with the box, the empty box that all of the gifts had come in. He didn't know about the gifts over there or forgot about them. It was the box that was important. And isn't it that way sometimes with us at this time of the year? We get all excited about the boxes and the wrappings and the trimmings and the music and the food and the church services and all kinds of things. But we forget about the Savior who has come. And I want to urge us this year to spend time with him. We, you know, this year there's fewer activities. this opportunity to spend time with him, to open that little box, to think about Jesus, to spend time with him, to know him better, to read your Bible and to talk with him and maybe to spend with others that are nearby, to listen to some music, to focus on him. Maybe you want to crank up the Messiah if that's what you listen to, or maybe something else to listen to focus, but not on the pageantry, but on the Savior that came. We got some little books out there, you'll see in the foyer and by the door, called The Peace and Promise of Christmas. These are 10 reflections from Daily Bread. Here's an option for you. I want to encourage you to spend extra time with Jesus this year. But don't focus on this book. Don't focus on another book. Focus on him. Let him know that you love him. Let him know you came. Deepen that relationship with him. I read a blog this week by a well-known writer, theologian, written all kinds of harebrained books. He was talking about a lot of the stuff that's gone on in our society over the last few months and picking it apart and sources, people that we tend to listen to or not. At the very end of the article, he had three words. He said, "Read the Bible." I thought, okay, that's it. So simple. Something that any of us can do. Read the Bible. Spend time in the Gospels. Spend time in the Psalms that talk about Jesus. But read the Bible. And let's take advantage of maybe some of this quieter time that we have, whether it be alone or with others. Read the Bible and spend time unwrapping this special gift. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so grateful that you came. And Lord, this has been a hard year for us. It still is a hard year for us. But Lord, you came in a very hard year for your people in Israel. And in that stable, you shone your light brightly. And we still see the light because the darkness has not put it out. So Jesus, help us to focus on you, to focus on the light, to know you more fully this season, Lord, and to open the box and to share that box with others who need you desperately. Thank you, Jesus. May it be so. We pray in your name.